It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Good evening, and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years this evening and every Sunday evening, 5 p.m. Central Time, and that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And today is Sunday, December the 18th, and we are back live in beautiful Austin, Texas. Much of the nation seems to be in a big freeze right now, including right here in Austin. It's a little bit chilly here, dropped from the mid-70s yesterday to the mid-20s this morning, and it hasn't gotten too much warmer than that. So we'll try to keep you warm here this evening wherever you are, and we have a really great, interesting and entertaining program as usual. And Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this program, is here with us to make the program run. And this evening's program, here's the lineup. We have a published poet and writer, playwright, whose plays have been produced off Broadway and in Europe, director, producer, and teacher of American history, civil law, and writing. Carol Polkovar will be joining us from Honolulu, Hawaii, where she now teaches at Hawaii Pacific University. And Carol, since the 1970s, has been active in the women's rights movement. And so she will be joining us to talk about women's issues in the 21st century, especially for us women in our midlife and beyond. Have we made any progress? We'll find out. And she'll also talk about living her passion in paradise. What could be so wrong with living in Honolulu? Also during the program, Jean Lance, president of the Texas Alliance for Retired Americans, will be joining us to talk about some important issues now affecting retirees in all of America, including those involving changes in Medicare and Social Security, and what TARA, Texas Alliance for Retired Americans, is doing about these issues and how we can get involved. And I will be talking about finding joy in the midst of freezing temperatures, holiday stress, fears of the unknown in the coming year, and other stresses that we might be experiencing. Plus, we'll be playing some music later in the program, and we'll hear from Art Mendoza on this side of the microphone, and we'll have fun. So throughout this evening's program, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. And my email address is Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L.com. And my Twitter address is M-A-R-A-E-K. And you can hear this evening's program again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com. And the link to the podcast will be posted along with any website links that my guests talk about on the program. And you can also hear the podcast as soon as 5 minutes after the program ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information from previous shows, updates about upcoming shows, listen to the podcasts of any of the previous shows. We've been on for almost 5 years, and you can go back and listen to at least any program from the past 3 years we've been on Blog Talk Radio. by going directly to my website, drmaricarpel.com, and blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And to find out any news going on with the radio program, or to read any of my Huffington Post blogs, you can follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City, practicing here in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and caregivers. And for the past few years, have also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And I spend part of my time in the wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this really great resource for veterans and for veterans' families, you can check their website, heroesnightout.org. Want to contact me? Do you have a question or a comment or anything else that you want to tell me about? You can send me an email to Dr. Mara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmaracarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L.com. You can contact me through my website, drmaracarpel.com, or you can call me at 512-626-6973. This evening's program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909, or you can send him an email to rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com. And his book is also available on Amazon. And this program is also sponsored by the bra lady, Sonia Das, helping every woman have a perky day. In Austin, call Sonia at 512-898-9058 or go to haveaperkyday.com. This program is also sponsored by Storyhouse. Storyhouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have Storyhouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. Storyhouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. Okay, so we're going to take a brief break, play a few of our sponsors' commercials, but don't go anywhere because we're going to be back very shortly. And joining us on the phone from Honolulu, Hawaii, playwright, director, professor Carol Pocovar will be joining us to talk about women in the 21st century and more. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Carpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential body wear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpell.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now joining us on the phone all the way from Honolulu, Hawaii, we have poet, writer, playwright, director, producer, and teacher of American history, civil law, and writing, Carol Polkovar. And Carol has been active in the women's civil rights movement since the 70s. So I've invited her to speak this evening about women's issues in the 21st century and to talk about paradise and following her passion. So welcome, Carol.
Why, thank you. Thank you, Mara. It's exciting to be on this call.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad to have you here. And how are things there in Hawaii? We're all freezing here on the mainland.
Well, a funny thing happens when you spend time in Hawaii. Freezing becomes somewhere around 70 degrees. So it's cold here. It's winter,
it's cold.
And you will really see people in sweaters. Yeah. And I thought that would never happen to me, but it did.
Yeah. Well, it is very cold here. So.
So I'm very happy to be here, even though we have to put on a sweater. It's You also have the beach. And summer was kind of hot, so winter that spans from the low 80s to the 70s isn't bad at all. I recommend
No,
it.
That's not bad at all. So Carol, before we go on with the questions, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
Good, yeah, because it's a little peculiar. I'm writing a memoir about it. I grew up with a Romanian Jewish immigrant family in a largely immigrant Jewish and Italian working class town, which sounds kind of ordinary, except if you add that that little town was Coney Island, which is a peninsula on the far end of Brooklyn. And it really was a little town, and it was like every little town except for the performing dwarfs, the gangsters, a boardwalk, a merry-go-round down the street, and a Luna Park, and of course Tuesday night fireworks. And I think growing up in Coney Island permanently twisted my idea of reality and the ordinary, because that was ordinary. And I always wondered as a kid why people seemed so oddly affected by this little town.
Yeah, my father grew up not very far from you down the street in Brighton Beach.
Oh, yes. Brighton Beach was the higher tone neighborhood. And they had a wonderful theater there, a summer stock theater that got all the best shows from Broadway.
Uh-huh,
it was quite a place.
Yeah. So, and you've been doing a lot since you left Coney Island.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I was thinking just recently about how many lives I've been through in that time. But I always carried with me the very strong belief that the world was made up of all these wonderful sights and sounds and rides and merry-go-rounds, and that they were available at all times. But I also carried something else with me. which was interesting. I came from a family where girls, especially this girl, was treated equally or maybe a little bit more respect than the boys. And I, my parents' expectations of me were that of first Jewish-born son that they always make fun of. So I didn't get that I was supposed to behave like a girl, whatever that meant, because I didn't get it at all. But I knew as I entered the world something was off. And we went to the theater a lot. So we went to that theater I just told you about, Brighton Beach Theater, and they had this play, and in the opening scene had this teacher, very attractive woman, middle age, and she was in Italy, and that was one of my dreams, to teach, write, and travel. And it was very great opening, and I was really enthralled. And then I found out everybody on the stage were coupled, and everybody felt very sorry for this beautiful, accomplished woman because she wasn't with a man, a part of a couple. Mm. So as the play progressed, we learned that she was also miserable for the same reason and took on an affair with an Italian man who was married, and it was some kind of tragedy. So dawned on me at that moment that no matter what a woman did in the years I was growing up, whether she could hold any job of esteem, it didn't matter. It mattered if she was coupled and if she had a husband. And that was the be-all and end-all of any respect any woman would get. And so at 13, I decided to get married. I didn't get married at 13, but I had a plan. And it followed suit. And so after I graduated from college, my first life was being trying to conform to this image of what I was supposed to be to gain respect. But I didn't exactly give up the other part. So I did teach. I was a teacher in a ghetto school, and that I figured was okay because a woman needed to be able to support her husband through college. So that was one of the lives. And that ended badly. And it dawned on me at that point, I wasn't going to do that anymore. And whatever anybody thought of me would be their opinion. So I went on, I got an MFA in poetry. I studied with John Ashbery. And then feminism broke out. So I was very involved. Things were happening all over the place. There were women publishing houses, newspapers, events, spaces. And so I was with the poetry, and we started a woman's little magazine. And it was kind of a stealth feminist because feminists were being put down. Their work wasn't worthy. They were just writing dumb women stuff. So we decided that there would be in this magazine the same amount of women as were in the Paris Review. And so it was feminist in that we reversed, because in Paris Review you'd have to look very hard to find women writers. But we included them. And I was still teaching and poetry. My father had been a vaudevillian, and one of the great tragedies of his life was that he had to support his family, and he went on to become a furrier to do that job. So he had offers from Hollywood. And so we did a lot of theater growing up. My father performed in front of the refrigerator. We went to theater on Broadway and Summerstock. So theater was a big love of my life, and I eventually got into that. which led me into theater organizations, which led me into founding an arts festival, an LGBT arts festival, multi-genre, once a year in New York City. And, of course, there were other things that were happening, but it's only an hour show.
Right. So you've been doing a lot. And now you teach in Honolulu.
Yes, yes, which is an interesting experience because all of my teaching experience, I've taught from cooperative nursery school to college, and I left at elementary school. And my experience on the East Coast is way different from Hawaii Pacific University ethos. And I had a much greater mix of students, both foreign and, as I say, from the mainland and from the many islands in the Pacific, including Hawaii. And the culture here is very different. Maybe it's the antithesis of New York City. So it's very more aloha and much less the competition and the busyness of students and the conflicts. People very quickly became family in my class. Yeah.
Interesting.
And, yeah, go ahead.
No, I said that's interesting. It's interesting, the differences.
Well,
so,
as you know,
so I have...
Yeah.
No, go on. Go on.
No, I was going to say, as you know, Hawaii was a nation of its own before the United States. Well, actually, the businessmen in Hawaii who were from the United States staged a coup, and eventually Hawaii became a territory of the United States. But the interesting thing about Hawaii is that it maintained a lot of the culture of the Hawaiian people. And so it's almost getting used to many different ways of seeing the world and doing things, which I think is great at this stage of my life.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So I have I have some questions. I know you know you've been active in the women's movement since the 70s. What have, based on your experience in this for over four decades, what do you think some of the issues are now in 2016 that are facing women? And I would say especially women as we get older. Have you made observations about that?
Yes, especially recently with a woman running for president. I think obviously from the person who was elected, there's going to have to be a lot of battles that will have to be fought again, which is sad because those things, I mean, I saw somebody, one of the memes on Facebook with a woman holding the sign saying, "I can't believe I have to fight this all over again." But yeah, from abortion, equal pay, women as professionals in the workplace, even contraception are things that are being revisited. But I think that there's something even more subtle that reared its head or made me aware how bad it is out of this election. Because even in the second wave, we talked a lot about it, and then it kind of faded from view as certain tangible changes were made. And that's the misogyny that's still here, not only among men, but among women who voted for a man who belittled and objectified women. We never got to fight on our terms as women the misogyny. I mean, I know today people think that because you have Supergirl and cartoons where women are being very adventurous, little girls, there has been over the past several decades a real return to genderization. I mean, I hear this from women younger who have small children. I know when you were young, my children were young, you had a birthday party. It was boys and girls, and they played together, and nobody thought anything of it. But friends are telling me they have nail polish parties that boys are not invited to, and game parties that girls are not invited to. Once again, the games have been more genderized. And so the old ideas are getting replanted in a time when you could imagine, oh, that was long gone. Nobody thinks that way again. And I think a lot of us thought that way. It reminds me of racism at the beginning when segregation was just ended and they began to get a lot of actors and comedians especially who were talking about their condition. And even though I was fighting for integration and, of course, didn't believe in racism, I was taken back when Dick Gregory did a performance on TV and made fun of the subtle racism around him. He had a whole routine about the newly invented skin color Band-Aids. And all he had to say was skin color Band-Aids, and you saw the problem. And I saw it in a different way. And somehow, I think women have to begin, and I see some glimmers of it, starting to tell who they are without regard to the misogynistic a narrative that is very, very, very old and very entrenched. So that I see as the biggest challenge, and it's not easy to do that, to raise consciousness. I also, I find that older women have bigger and complicated problems that come crashing down on their egos, because the plight of women, the acceptance of the misogyny against them by many women comes because women do get big rewards for conforming to these demands. A woman who is married is more admired than a woman who's single. Women who don't want children are always writing about how they get a lot of flack for not wanting children. So women with children are regarded in a different way. Women who can be sexy and beautiful are far more admired than say, a brilliant woman. So there are a whole group of women, even feminists, who unconsciously have been living off of a status that begins to ebb in middle age. Because then you have all the narrative about older people. You know, we're ugly, we're losing our minds, we no longer are interested or have sex, and besides, we're not sexy. So when that happens, it's an enormous crush to the ego. I mean, after devoting your life for being what I call a good girl, there's no payback. You know, no gold washed, no pension.
Right.
So Yeah, it's like
the crime to look your age. It's a crime to look your age.
Who have the money and the time and have gotten facelifts. And when everybody around you has facelifts and you're the only one without it, you begin to look like the strange one. It's a big sell. I mean, even when I was working at the festival or in any nonprofit, we would always go out. I would work. Sometimes I would send an attractive woman because I knew that she would score better. And when I and a male compatriot went out, we would size up the situation. And the person who didn't like women would get Jeff talking all the time, and the one that was more receptive to women would get me. So this is so threaded through everything in society that the only way I have found to deal with it is to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
To use it when you can and ignore it.
Your advice based on your experience?
That's a piece of advice. You have to find, and I think this is also what you've been saying, you have to find is probably the wrong word. You have to go into yourself and be willing to trust who you are, because we all have a core that is us that we've had since we're very little. And there's a lot of pressure on both men and women to put it away, but I think it's harder on women. And if you haven't found the core and found the things you love that are you, then you really have a problem as you're growing older. And it doesn't stop unless you're dead, because so many people, Grandma Moses started doing what she loved at 90, did it very well. But it doesn't matter if you do it well to me. It matters if you do it, because it'll take you a whole variety of places you may never have thought you were going to go, and it makes your life real and exciting. So that's the advice.
Well, that's great advice. I like that advice, because definitely confirms what I've been saying, which is how important it is to follow your dreams. And
absolutely.
You know, I think that's so empowering to everyone, men, women, doesn't matter. But especially for women, because like you've said, we've usually put aside our own dreams and lived somebody else's dream of who we're supposed to be.
Right, right. And for some women, it is their dream to do this and have a wonderful old age because they've devoted themselves to family and find things that they love to do. It's the people who were dependent on the rewards. And that's especially true for women, because our reward is for not being ourselves, for putting ourselves aside.
Right.
And one of the things from the consciousness raising group we were in, I remember the story of one woman saying she was going for her college degree, which she wanted, but she was late. And she felt she couldn't leave the house without her makeup. So she was late for the test that she needed. And there's so many incidents like that in women's lives.
Right. So putting other people's needs ahead and not ending up being able to follow our own dream because of that.
Right.
And
there has to be a balance, right?
Yeah, and I like what you said about ignoring it. I mean, sometimes you can't ignore it. It's right there in your face. But I think in terms of, like, following your dream and not letting other people try to dissuade you and tell you that you're doing the wrong thing because you're not fitting into a role I think that's where it's really important to ignore it.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're women are raised, many of us are raised to be what I call girls. Girls are deferential, they're polite, they're neat, they're willing to wait their turn. I was recently at a political meeting called the People's Congress out here in Honolulu, and there were, I think, four speakers in a particular panel that I was at, and went on, all the male speakers spoke, and then they went on to answer questions, and the woman's piece of the panel was never addressed. And eventually the woman got angry enough to yell, but in the interim I asked her, why doesn't she insist on talking? And she said, I'm waiting my turn. See, this is dangerous.
Right.
So you have to take your turn. And so a lot of women have to unlearn what they were taught and what they get praised for.
Right. Very, very interesting and timely, Carol. I'm so glad that you came on to talk about this because it's really important, especially right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So I know you're writing a book, and I'm wondering if people are interested in finding out when your book is done and purchasing your book and anything else you might be doing right now. Is there some place where they can look for that online?
We're a bit away from publishing the book, which is a mystery about a teenage girl growing up in 19th century New York who becomes a detective. But it also covers, as you might think, feminism, class, immigrants, and race. We are, Rona and I are offering to help people with their writing. Part of what I did was publicity. And we have a Facebook site, and you can find me there. It's called C. And R, write. That's W-R-I-T-E. And eventually we'll have a website. But in Aloha
Can you
Land,
can you repeat
move slowly.
Can you
sure.
Can you repeat it again?
Sure. C, the letter C, and
letter C.
Yes, and the word and. The letter R. And the word write, W-R-I-T-E. It's a Facebook page now. And we offer a lot of different services to people who want to find words to express whatever, their memories.
Okay. Great. So it's like writing coaching.
Exactly.
Okay,
and,
excellent. I'm going to post that on my. I will post that on my web post about this show, so people can just go to my web post later tonight and just click on the link. It'll take them to that Facebook page. Yeah,
great. I hope to hear from everybody.
Yeah, it's great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Well, you're very welcome. And I'm assuming we're out of time.
We are. But I'd love to have you come back on again.
I'll send you a note. Well, that's great. I appreciate the time, and I agree with you. What we touched on was really important going forward in coming out at women via the next presidential term.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Thank you. And we'll speak to you again soon. Good luck.
Take care.
Enjoy paradise. All right. Bye-bye. All right. So we're going to take a quick break, and we have lots more to come, so don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential bodywear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com and have a perky day.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpell.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpell in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream at podcast at drmaricarpell.com. And before I go further, I just want to give you the latest news. More of the videos that we have taped of the interviews that we've done live here in Austin with the guests that are in Austin have been uploaded and more are on their way to being uploaded. And you can take a look at those at Vimeo.com, V-I-M-E-O.com, and do a search for Dr. Mara Carpell and Your Golden Years. It will take you to a page that gives you directions about how to view the videos. We've had some really interesting live videos in our Austin studio for the interviews that we've done there, and I think you'll enjoy watching them in addition to listening on the radio. Also, in Huffington Post, my latest blog was election stress, how to cope with stress that you might feel about the election, whether you were in for or whether you're in favor or against the results, it's still a stressful time. And so I think you might find that article interesting. And you can find that on my website, drmaricarpell.com, and click on publications or click on blogs. It's in both places. And all of my blogs from Huffington Post are on that page, so you'll find all of them. And soon coming out with the next one, so stay tuned. You'll find out when it is published immediately if you're on my Facebook page, Dr. Mara Carpell, Your Golden Years. Also, a few weeks ago, I was invited to be interviewed as part of a Q&A of women in the media by VoRail.com, which is a social media app for the worldwide visually impaired community. And the segments of that interview are all uploaded. You can hear all of them. All of that is on my website as well. And I have put that on the publications and blogs pages because I didn't know where else to put it. So you could go find that there, and you can click on each of the segments to listen to the interview. And also, one of the developers of this app, Tom Rosenthal, is going to be a guest on this program on January 22nd. So he'll be talking about VoRail, how it came about, and how it is currently used. So I want to talk about a topic about the topic of joy. And, you know, I think we touched on it now, Carol talked about joy in spite of difficult situations. And what she talked about was how much joy there is in following your dreams as a woman, even in spite of the situation where we see a lot of negativity towards women and women having to refight the old battles all over again. But as soon as she started talking about following your dreams, you could hear the joy even in her voice. So I think that's really indicative of how important it is that no matter what is going on in the world, when you follow your dreams and you follow your passion, not ignoring what's going on in the world, not totally taking no responsibility for trying to be part of the solution. But when you follow your dreams, you actually can be part of the solution in that way. And it is very powerful in bringing joy about in your own life in spite of negativity in the world. And it brings more power and empowerment to you when you can do that and ignore the people around you who are trying to tell you, no, you shouldn't do that because that's not what you're supposed to do in your role, whatever that's supposed to be. And so when I started thinking about this topic of joy, I was thinking about how the temperatures have dropped all around the mainland here, even here in Austin, Texas. The wind is blowing, the sky is cloudy, and many people feel cold and gloomy. And then on top of that, the holidays are coming. And while this brings joy to many people, there are also many other people who feel pain of loss, loneliness, financial stress, even more acutely during this time, that the holidays sort of highlight the pain that people feel in some ways. And then we have the stress and the fear of the unknown with the coming new year and the coming changes in the nation because of a new administration and even changes in the world, because what happens here affects the whole world. And there's that feeling of uncertainty of what's going to happen. That, again, no matter how you feel about the election results, all of us have uncertainty about what is going to happen. So how do we manage to find joy in the midst of all of this? And I'm going to begin this discussion on this program for a few minutes before our next guest comes on, but it's going to continue when Tom Rosenthal of VoRail comes on in January, because I got the VoRail community involved in answering this question. I posed it to them, and I have received already just in one day 10 responses about how people find joy in their life. And these are audio, because it is everything is for voice on that social media app. So we actually have audio clips that we're going to play while Tom is on the air, of some of the VoRail community who have given their permission to play their results. So, but meanwhile, I'm going to talk about some of my thoughts about this topic of joy in the midst of turmoil. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the responses that I've already listened to. And I want to pose the question to you, to the listeners of this show, tonight's show: how do you find joy in spite of the situations around you that may not be very joyful, and perhaps situations in your own life that are not joyful or comfortable? If you send me those answers right now in the next few minutes, I will talk about them on the air this evening. But if you're listening on podcast or you don't get to send your answer right away, send me the answer on email, drmarakarpel.com, or tweet them to me at MARAEK, and you can send them to me anytime after this. If you're listening to the podcast during the week or even the next couple of weeks, no worries. I will read them on the air and on a later program whenever I receive your answers. So the question is, how do you find joy in spite of stressful situations? So, you know, we're on the cusp of a new year, and I like to kind of look at what's happened in the past year and what I've learned and how to move forward and maybe even make resolutions in the new year, or new intentions, I'd rather call it. You know, and in the past, as with most of you out there, I'm sure we've made some unrealistic resolutions or have had unrealistic expectations about what would happen in the next year. And I think that I've learned, especially in the past 2 years, and even more recently, past couple of months, that not to have unrealistic expectations about what life will hand us, that I don't expect everything to be smooth and easy, and I don't expect that my path will be straight. It certainly hasn't been smooth and easy. The weather is not always going to cooperate, and I don't expect that the events of the world or in my life won't occasionally knock me off my track in following my own dreams and my path. But the positive thing that I have learned is that I have it in me to keep powering ahead toward my dreams, and my goals and my passions, and that in spite of pauses that I've needed to take along the way, and I really believe that taking pauses are really important, and I've had, you know, Terry Hershey, the author of The Power of Pause, on the program talking about how important pauses are, whether they're a few minutes or days or weeks or months, that they're really important. But then I know that we can get ourselves back on the path. I know that I can personally. And even in spite of these different forks in the road and trips off the road and pausing, that when I look back, I've made some amazing progress in following my dreams. So, you know, as the saying says, that the journey a 1,000 miles begins with a single step. We have to keep taking a single step. And I think that passion and the desire to keep going one foot in front of the other towards our passion is what ignites the flame of hope that gives us energy and joy to keep going in spite of obstacles or people telling us that we're not supposed to be doing that. And sometimes the obstacles are just ourselves, our own mind. We get in the way of ourselves and we feel like we're just slogging along, and we start to lose sight of how much progress we're really making. So having said that, I think it's also important to keep in mind that running from our own pain of things that happen to us and losses and, pain that we have for other people, is running from that is not the way to joy. In fact, this gives our pain and our fear the power to grow larger and scarier when it finally catches up with us, which it always does. And I quoted the Buddhist nun Pema Chodron last week. Here's another quote from her in her book, Comfortable with Uncertainty. Sticking with uncertainty is how we relax in the midst of chaos, how we learn to be cool when the ground beneath us suddenly disappears. So just being with it and giving it space, the stress, the pain, eventually diminishes. It's when we try to stuff it away that it takes control of us, because we're not allowing it to just run its course. And even in the midst of chaos, we can find joyous moments, loving connections, optimism, and a place of peace deep within us. So how do we find that? Well, one way is through gratitude. And many people talk about gratitude and how having gratitude for what we have and for the silver linings, even in negative situations, are so powerful in turning our mood around and creating joy, even in the midst of chaos. And then there is the power of stillness. And last week, my guest Jan Bidwell spoke about sitting meditation, and how sitting meditation helps us to find peace and stillness within us as a way to manage stress and to be with pain without letting it cause suffering. And it goes even further than that. Eckhart Tolle, famous author, speaker, has written quite a bit and spoken quite a bit about how stillness is where we find true happiness. So as he teaches, when we find a place of stillness where there are gaps between our thoughts, there's an awareness in you that can feel, that you can feel with your entire being, and that's where pure joy lives. Does that mean that we can't, that we have no problems? No. We can see that we have problems, but we see them as the story of our lives, not who we are, that we are much deeper than our story, and that when we can find that deep place of stillness, then we can be more creative and we can be much calmer in coming up with solutions to these problems. And we can feel peace and joy even when we are trying to solve the problems. So I think that's really key. And I know we are running out of time and we have a guest coming up soon. So I did mention that I talk a little bit about the responses that I received from the VoRail, the visually impaired community that use VoRail.com, the social media app, when I posed this question. And several of the responses had to do with gratitude and how that brings them joy. Several had to do with helping other people and finding meaning in their lives by helping others to solve problems, that brings joy to their own life. And also just being around positive, loving people and having that social interaction, whether working together at finding problems or just sweating and relaxing. So those were some of the responses. And again, I'm going to talk more about this on later shows as I get more responses from VoRail and from you listeners. If you send me your responses about how you find joy in the midst of turmoil. And then again, we will play some of the audio responses on January 22nd. So we're going to take a brief break, and don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we will have Jean Lance, the president of the Texas Alliance for Retired Americans Educational Fund, to talk about issues affecting seniors here in Texas and around the U.S. and how we can do something to help. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel and your golden years here on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaracarpel.com. And now joining us on the phone from right here in Austin, Texas, we have Jean Lance, president of the Texas Alliance for Retired Americans Educational Fund. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you. Actually, I'm in Dallas.
Oh, you're in Dallas. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome anyway. So thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, it was an opportunity for me because the situation for retirees is quite desperate, quite dire. And any opportunity I get to tell retirees that danger is coming, I'm very eager to do it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just, before we get to that, let's just step back a little bit. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about the Texas Alliance for Retired Americans?
Yes, it's there was back in the 1960s, there was an organization called the National Council for Senior Citizens. This organization was given credit for having caused Medicare. When Lyndon Johnson signed the Medicare bill, he said that the National Council for Senior Citizens had been responsible for having developed a support for it across the nation. That organization was changed, I believe, in 2001. It was changed to the Alliance for Retired Americans, a national organization. Now, both of those organizations were sponsored by the AFL-CIO, the National Labor Federation. So then in 2006, they chartered a Texas chapter of the Alliance for Retired Americans. And it is not just union people, but anybody who supports the right to retire. You don't even have to be a retiree to join. It's anybody who supports the right to retire.
Okay, so you don't have to be 65 and over.
No, and you don't, and you can live anywhere in Texas. We now have six chapters in Texas, including one there in Austin, one at Corpus Christi, one at Fort Worth, Beaumont, San Antonio, and I'm leaving off Dallas, mine. So and Beaumont. So there are six chapters around the state, all of which, right at this moment, are working on reaching out to congresspersons to try to stop the imminent danger that we feel is upon us.
Okay. Are you working, do you work along with the national organization, or is it a separate group from the Alliance for Retired Americans?
The national organization in Washington, D.C. is a lobbying organization for retirees. They have a very good lobby in Washington, D.C., and they keep track of all legislation affecting seniors. They also chartered state organizations in most of the states of the union, not all of them because it's a process, but eventually we'll have charters in every state.
Okay. So what are the issues that the Texas Alliance for Retired Americans is working on? I know you had a big meeting just a few days ago.
Yes, on Thursday we held a press conference and a state meeting in Austin. Unfortunately, I had a death in the family and was not able to go. The point of it all, the point of that meeting was that the fight back will be statewide, that everybody, union people, non-union people, seniors, and just people who support seniors, will be mobilizing to fight back against the threats that are coming from certain parts of the government, particularly go ahead.
Yeah, go on. So I was going to ask what are those threats?
Well, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, I believe, has been trying for the last several sessions to privatize Medicare. Now, that sounds, especially when he says it, it sounds like, a complicated process, but it's really quite simple. What they want to do is turn Medicare over to the insurance companies. So it wouldn't be Medicare at all. It would just be part of the insurance companies that run things in America. So that came from Congressman Paul Ryan, who is the Speaker of the House and was just reelected. The other threat to privatize Medicare comes from a guy named, I think, Tom Price, who was just nominated by the President-elect Trump to head the Health and Human Services Department of the government. That's the part that oversees seniors' issues. Tom Price also wants to privatize Medicare. So that's sending up alarms all through the seniors movement all over America. Just to make things worse, one of the congresspersons here in Dallas, a man named Sam Johnson, very old man, by the way, but he doesn't have any sympathy for older people. Congressman Sam Johnson introduced legislation to cut Social Security severely in a whole bunch of different ways. It would sound complicated if you asked him what he was going to do, And he would summarize by saying that he's trying to save Social Security. When the Republicans talk about saving a program, look out, because they're going to save it by cutting it to the bone. And Mr. Congressman Sam Johnson has a program, has legislation pending right now to cut Social Security severely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now,
so,
I'm sorry.
No, go on.
Well, the actual answer for any problems that they bring up, for first of all, they're just making up these problems. Social Security is not about to capsize. It is not, about to burn in the fires of hell. That's not true. It's got until, I think, 2035 before they would even have to cut any benefits if they just left things the way they are. But they typically do not leave things the way they are. What Congress has done in the past is raise the cap of how many people pay for Social Security. Presently, I pay Social Security with everything I earn. Probably you do too. Most working people mm-hmm. do. But wealthy people get to stop their Social Security payments early in the year. After they've made a certain amount of money, I've forgotten the amount. It's just over $100,000, I think. After they make their first $100,000, they stop paying Social Security. So in the past, Congress has just raised that cap so that they could pay Social Security a little longer anytime they needed any more revenue for Social Security. That's the solution for Social Security today. Just raise the cap until you have enough money to cover Social Security. But Congressman Johnson is pretending that doesn't even exist, and all the Republicans are proposing cuts in benefits for working people and ordinary people without any consideration of higher revenues. So they don't ever look at the revenue side. They only look at cutting benefits. And we've seen pensions being slashed right and left. We've already suffered a cut to Social Security when they raised the retirement age. And now Congressman Johnson wants to institute a bunch of further cuts in Social Security. Congressman Paul and President Trump's nominee for Health and Human Services both want to privatize Medicare, turn it back over to the insurance companies. You may recall...
Right.
You may recall that when President Bush was reelected for his second term, his first order of business was to try to privatize Social Security. We mobilized against that and fought it to a standstill until President Bush finally had to give up on privatizing Social Security. When privatizing is a big word, but what it means is turning it over to business interests, letting business interests use it to make a profit, instead of keeping it as a government program, the very best government program that they've ever come up with.
Right. So in terms of, like, you know, people listening and they're not sure how it would affect them in their life, what would that mean? So you turn 65, instead of getting Medicare, now it's private Medicare. What would that mean for somebody in terms of their health care?
It's just like any other insurance company. It varies. Any other insurance question, if you've spoken to groups of retirees and you talk about anything concerning any kind of insurance, and Social Security and Medicare are both insurance programs, anytime you bring up insurance, it varies by the individual. So if you bring it up in a group of 50 retirees and they start asking questions, you're going to have 50 different answers. Because they're all in different situations, but in general, what Mr. Johnson would do with Social Security is he would raise the retirement age. So I don't know how old you are, but and I don't know how old your kids are, but they would have to work longer. The rationale is that people live longer, and the assumption is that they can work longer, but that's not necessarily true. If the kind of work you do is factory work, such as what I was doing, I retired in my early 60s, and frankly, the last few weeks, I didn't know if I was going to make it day by day. My back was killing me when I finally got out of that place. They say that people, since people live longer, that they can work longer, and they're only looking at the kind of work they do, which is sitting around talking. Now, see, if your job is sitting around talking, you probably can work longer. But if your job is not sitting around talking, if you actually work for a living, you may not be that simple to just say you can work longer.
Well, the other part of that is it's kind of nice if you decide that you want to work longer because you really love your job or you've gone into something new and it's really interesting and start your own business, etc. But not everybody is able to do that, right? And lots of people look forward to their retirement years, their golden years, to do the things they love to do before they get too old to be able to do them, right?
I just visited my wife's uncle last weekend. He's still working. He's almost 90. And he just loves it. And that's a perfectly free thing that Americans can do. If they want to work later, they certainly can. Social Security is not keeping them from doing it. In fact, the longer they work, probably up to a certain point, the more they're going to get from their Social Security. So my wife's uncle is doing just fine, but he's not somebody that's down in the trenches digging ditches with a shovel.
Right.
His job is to supervise, to talk to people on the phone, and issue orders. So he can work as long as he can draw breath, I suppose, and more power to him. That's perfectly legitimate and perfectly a good thing for American workers to do if they want to and if they're able. But that's not what Mr. Johnson is going to give them. What Mr. Johnson is going to give them is that they will be forced to work longer because they won't be able to get their full Social Security payments.
Right.
I should point out that most retirees, for most American retirees, Social Security is their main source of income. It's not just something that's added on. For most retirees, Social Security is their main form of income, and it is going to get much more so because people are losing their pensions. In the private sector, 2 out of 3 people who had a pension in 1989 have lost it in the private sector. The most of the people who still have a good pension are government workers of some kind, and don't think that they're not trying to cut those too. In this morning's yesterday morning's Dallas newspaper, the police and firemen were presented with an opportunity to cut their pensions, and that's the choice that the city is giving them. You may cut your pensions, and that's how we're going to save it. Furthermore, in the last election, November the 8th, the people of Dallas voted to cut the pensions of the city workers. This is the non-uniformed city workers, not the police and firemen. They have a different program, but they are under great pressure to cut their benefits as well.
So if people want to get involved in this, what do they do?
If people want to get involved with the Texas Alliance for a Retired American, they can contact me, genelance.org, online. It's genelantz.org, and that's a good way to find me because you just go to my website and hit contact us. Our actual website is a little bit longer. If people have a pencil and paper, they might want to write it down. It's TexasRetiredAmericans.org. That's all one word, TexasRetiredAmericans.org. We solicit members all the time because we believe that retirees are going to have to solve this problem ourselves. We do not think that somebody else, some politician or some labor leader or some charismatic spokesperson, is going to be able to stop the tide of destroying the right to retire in America. We believe that seniors will take that fight themselves, not only for ourselves, but for the young people, for our kids and grandkids. Our slogan is, let's not be the last generation to retire.
And one more question, Gene. So if people are listening in other parts of the country, you said that there are some other local, state-level Alliance for Retired American groups?
I'm sorry, I missed some of that. There are local organizations all over Texas, yes.
About all over the country.
Oh, the last time I looked, I think they had chartered 39 of the 50 states. They don't have all 50 states. I know they don't have Louisiana and Arkansas yet because we're working on those. We're helping with those.
Okay. And so for the states that have them, just look up Alliance for Retired Americans in their state.
If they don't have a chapter in their state, they'll still be members of the national organization, and the national organization will still help them, not only with a very good lobby in Washington, D.C., but with material and information and coordination of activities. Now, we are not a sit-around-talking organization. We are currently nationwide visiting congresspersons. We are currently nationwide filling out pensions, petitions, I mean. We are currently nationwide writing letters to congresspersons, and we're doing that online and in person, you know, and the best thing is a handwritten letter. It's hard to get that done, but when we have meetings, we get people to write handwritten letters. We're going to have a national call-in day on January the 4th on Medicare to just flood the Congress with our desires and our demands. In the meantime, we are actually going to visit them. You know, Congress is taking its holiday vacation now, so we're going to visit as many of them as we can before they go back in session. Because you can catch them in their home districts, it's a lot easier than going to Washington, D.C. to talk to them.
Right. Well, Gene, I'm so glad to have you on the program, and I would love to have you come back every so often to let us know what's going on. Is that something you might want to do?
Sure, I would love to, and I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. So let's be in touch, and we'll have you back on to fill us in on what's going on, because this is really important.
All right, just check GeneLance.org. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. You have a good evening.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So now us on a phone. Mark's going to join us and fill us in on
to brothers of the sun, to children of the moon at night. One sees the stars, one hears the bird in flight. Like the beauties in the sea, they live their lives in harmony. One sees the waves, and one hears the song it brings. And Micah's out to play, and Nathan's here to stay a while. And don't go so far away, he's right behind.
Watch him, here he comes.
All right. And we're back, and we were just listening to Art Mendoza with some of his original music, and now he's joining us on the line, the producer of this program, Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment. What's going on, Art?
It's cold. It's 33 degrees outside. People are staying home, watching football games and everything. And that's about what's happening in Austin, Texas tonight. The things that I'd like to talk about will be about our future guests that we're going to be having. And now that we have a system where we can actually call anywhere around the world, we're going to be bringing in several people from all over the world that we can now get in touch with. And also bring in some other artists that we've had before, like Jelly Bread. And Karen Sessions will be on with us. And American Dreamer. And more artists. But that's really about it. You know, it's good that the year is over and get ready for another new year, because I think the next couple of shows are going to be encore presentations from previous shows. And,
yeah, but they're on holidays for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening, so we're going to have some encore programs coming on. But that's the main thing. I just wanted to let everybody know that it's been fun. I can't believe it's been 3 years on Blog Talk. That's one thing that I can't believe. But
it's been 3 years on Blog Talk Radio.
The trip.
January 15th will be the anniversary.
So anyway, that's about it. Why don't you call us out and let's get out of here.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Art. All right. So before Art shuts us down, let me let you know what's happening in the next few weeks. So next time is New Year's Day. So we will be playing encore presentations, as Art mentioned, on those two holidays, on those Sundays. We're playing some encores of our recent favorites. So you might want to tune into those, but of course you can always listen on to the podcast anytime. And I will be back live on the air on Sunday, January 8th, live from New York City. Stay tuned. I'll be posting what on my Facebook page, what I'll be talking about, who I'll be talking to when I'm in New York. I think it'll be a little bit different because I'm out of town. And we have some really great, interesting guests lined up already for 2017. And Art said we can now have people around the world. So we'll be doing some more of that for musical guests and for the speaking guests. And so you want to tune in 2017 because I think it'll be an exciting year. So if you want to hear this evening's program again or read the information from the program, get the website links that my guests talked about, or learn about upcoming shows or listen to previous shows or read my Huffington Post blogs, go to my website, drmaracarpel.com, drmaraarpel.com. Also, be sure to follow me on Facebook for all of latest news and information, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years. And you can hear this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, blgtalkradio.com/Your Golden Years. This evening's program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Post Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Memory Specialist Dr. Ronald Veer, by Sonia Dock, the Bra Lady, and by Story House. A special thanks to guests Carol Polar, Jean Lance, and of course, thank Art, and thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night, and remember, you have no age. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy New Year, Happy whatever you celebrate, including celebrating life. I'll see you all in the new year. Let's get joyful and peaceful. Let's difference in the world. Good night, everyone.
I leave the North now to survive. She owed so many people, she stayed alive. If you get in front of her path, she will. She'll eat you alive. It's the truth. You have a little trouble with your nose. Watch it change colors like a rose it glows. If you see your face in the mirror when it's down on its side, you better hide. You'll lose your hide and I'm gonna show you. Transaction, you make a buy. Well, it's all in fashion. You want to try? If you seek the truth from the mountain where it grows and it thrives, they'll say she lied. But you better hide.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.